Whatever your child's neurodiversities, I'm Kate. I'm here to make you feel less alone on this path, where usual parenting strategies have been thrown out the window, where you have to relearn a lot of things about yourself whilst experiencing a rainbow of emotions in trying to support your child. There is a wealth of information out there for SEND parents on form filling, lots of charities, legal advice, which is fantastic. But I'm here to focus on you, your mindset, with some spirituality thrown in there too, to help you reach your potential as a parent and to be the happy, fulfilled person that you deserve to be. Welcome to Neuro Awesome. Welcome to episode 6. All about connection. And that means I'm talking about connection between you and your child, your children, but also your connections that you have in your life. Having children with additional needs can be so lonely, and you can feel so isolated when challenges arise and things happen. And there can be times when there are few people that can really relate to how you feel and the things that you're going through. So those connections are so important. And there's been studies done to show that actually having good relationships and connections can be what the main thing that can make people happier than those that don't. And that doesn't mean to say that you need to necessarily have a partner, that it's relationships with the people around you. Says me, coming from a single parent and a person that's very much an introvert as well, is something that I find quite tricky to do, because I feel like that does take a lot of my energy. So it's a reminder for me to see the importance of connections with, I've been working a lot on connections with my children recently, but also like the wider picture of other people around too. So what does human connection mean? It's the deep bond that you form with people, which makes you feel seen and makes you feel valued. People exchange energy when you're talking. You are energy. As you're talking, you are exchanging energy. You're building that trust. And from that, you feel a sense of belonging. And you know when you're connecting with someone, or you particularly like someone, because you might find yourself imitating their body language or imitating their accent even. That can be a sign that you are getting on well with someone. But the flip side to that is, use your gut. If you have a gut feeling that maybe something's not quite right about that person, or you get a bad feeling, then follow that instinct. I don't know if I've talked about the time where one of the nurseries we looked round, when we were looking at different nurseries around in the area and we just moved, I got a gut feeling that about the manager of this particular nursery, something didn't feel quite right. It felt very much like business led and not very child-centered, and that was like a niggling feeling, and just, yeah, something was a bit off. But I ignored that, went ahead, and we went along with the nursery, and my youngest started there and everything, and it was within like a few weeks that I realised that my gut feeling was right. And it was very much about like sending you invoices and things, and then when it came to the human side, like being ignored and having emails ignored, and you, and even being told off on one occasion, which was, So you trust your gut, and that goes to say, with if you get a good feeling about somebody too, your gut is 9 times out of 10 correct. That is your body telling you, giving you signs, which are most of the time go with those feelings. So from a neuroscience point of view, we as humans are wired for connections with people, with our children and others. We're very much like tribal beings, which is why that, especially being parents of children with additional needs, you will find that when you do feel criticized and judged, and it can give you these awful, horrible, negative feelings, that very much is to do with connection, because if you, long time ago when we were like cave people, you were relying for survival on being a part of a pack and a team and working together for survival. So if you were to feel this like rejection, then that would mean death to you. That could potentially be the actual outcome. So our brains are very much wired to give us this sense of connection. And that's why when you feel criticized by others or you get these comments from people that don't understand the situation, don't understand you and your family and how your children work and operate and are judgmental during meltdowns. And you know, I think most of us have been there when you get a funny look and you just get that feeling that that person does not understand. I had an old lady when my eldest was little and obviously having ADHD, he was full of energy and he was like trying to climb on the chairs and everything. And I was saying, oh, you can't put your feet on the chairs. And he was just full of energy running around. And an old lady just came up to me and went, pointed at him and went, naughty, and walked off. And that left me feeling, as a first-time parent, feeling terrible, like, oh my God, I'm doing this all wrong. I'm a terrible parent. And that can lead to like genuine feelings of hurt. And this has been proven that these feelings of rejection and criticism can make you feel actual physical feelings of pain. This is the way we're wired to avoid this. But in actual fact, when you zoom out and look at it logically, somebody being judgmental and of you or critical of you is not a life or death situation in this day and age. It might mean that somebody doesn't agree with you, have the same values as you, but that doesn't mean that they're out to get you. They're going to actually physically harm you because our brains aren't adequately evolved enough for this modern day and age. So what I'm trying to say is your feelings are valid, very much valid. So when you do feel this sense of hurt, and I found certainly like being on my own as well, not having very many people around to talk to after these incidents where you've had your child, as there's been a situation when you've been out in public and you feel like this shame and thinking everyone just thinks I'm such a terrible parent, and because other people quite in a lot of situations don't understand, then that is valid. That's okay for you to feel like that. That's the way that you are wired to feel like that in order to protect you, even though that's not useful. And how many times have you heard people say, or you may have seen quotes that say that when you finally realize that it doesn't matter what other people think, that is the freest and happiest you can be, when you do no longer care what other people think about you. And I think people talk about that when they're older, and certainly my mum talks about that. When you do get older, you become to a point where you think, I'm really not bothered, I've had a lot of life experience and I'll do what I want to do and I know what path I'm on and my goals, and I'm not bothered what other people think or say. So it's the neuroscience part of it shows that our neurons in our brains like mirror other people's when you're interacting. So this also emphasizes the point where you, when you are trying to calm a child because they are in the middle of a meltdown or they're having a tough time, if you are that calm anchor in their storm, their neurons will physically mirror yours. So how good is that to know that you're not only doing yourself, you are doing the right thing by staying calm and helping them to be calm, but there are physical changes going on in their brain that are mirroring yours, and you are physically helping them to calm themselves and regulate themselves. The pathways in the brains light up to mirror both emotions and behaviours of other people when you're interacting. So I suppose that could be on the other side of things, that could be negative as well. If you are having a tough time to stay regulated yourself and you are getting yourself wound up, which we all do when you've got lots of things on your mind and you're tired and the list goes on and you're having a hard time, to regulate yourself. That is why it quite often adds fuel to the fire, because your chaotic brain that's not regulated is being mirrored by the child's and making the situation worse. So it's interesting to understand these things and why it happens, because we can all say this is what we should be doing, but at the end of the day, no one's a perfect parent, as hard as you try. Studies show that the strongest bonds with humans are the maternal bond. The mother and infant is one of the strongest bonds that there are. And that bond starts early on, like during pregnancy, as early as that. So having time to connect with people, even strangers, there was a study to show that people that just connected with strangers for a few moments a day were happier than those that did other things, went on the phone, watched things on their iPad or whatever, were busy doing other things. And I think I've got to remind myself that, because sometimes I think, because it does take a lot of my energy, because I am an introvert, sometimes I just think, what is the point in striking up a conversation if you're not going to see that person again? I think, well, what is the value in that? But there is value in that, of connecting with others. And certainly if they are other parents, I found that quite easy when my children were young and you were going to like play groups and things, because you got a lot in common there. But I personally have found that a bit harder with mums on the playground, because I felt very judged and more with one of my children than the other two, I would say, though I found it more tricky to relate and get on with the parents. But yeah, the importance of that. And we're lucky enough to have like a special needs family group that have social media and meet up regularly for different events and things. And next weekend we're going away like camping for the night and doing activities with them. And that is so amazing, because you feel like when you are there, people understand, because they are parents of children with additional needs, so they do get a lot of the time where you're coming from, and yeah, I feel less judged and I feel more relaxed to be able to just be myself and just parent the way that I want to, because they have more understanding around that, and that's great. Although that was a bit more challenging than I expected. I think last year I just expected to be 100% relaxed, but actually with two of my children being autistic, they didn't cope fantastically with all the excitement and all the activities, and they were apprehensive about going on the zip wire, and that caused a bit of like a lot of emotions, and it was all very full on, and it was a long day, so actually it was quite hard for them to, they absolutely loved it, but it was a big thing looking back. And as I've gone on now and a year on, I'm much better at understanding their needs and being able to meet those needs and help them be able to cope and regulate. Whereas a year ago, I suppose my expectations were too high. The behaviour was, should I say, challenging? But then is that me saying that that's my problem? Because that's just them being themselves. And then it's me needing to help them find ways to regulate, if that makes sense. So I did feel quite on edge at times, because there were challenging times with their emotions and things where it was quite chaotic. But I think I'll be more prepared for that this year and think, okay, it's quite an overwhelming, tiring day, which is brilliant, but be prepared that there will be challenging moments, and that's okay for all of us to feel like that, and that bedtimes might be quite difficult because they're going to be wired from all the excitement for the day. So I suppose it's about readjusting your expectations to things. So yeah, having those group of people that have similar things to you, your similar sort of circumstances and interests and things, definitely helps with that. Have an outlet. It's not good it's actually quite damaging to keep everything within yourself, and it can have an impact on your health eventually as well. As I found out as I got appendicitis about 2 years ago, and I continue to have issues with that, and I'm sure that's because of a lot of my stress is actually stored in my gut and is not doing good things for me. But having somebody to talk to, a family member, a friend, a partner, having a group to talk to, journaling it, just getting those feelings out of your head in some way by speaking to somebody or having them physically, writing them on paper to get them out of your head. It's easier to process things and think logically about situations and problem solve when the situation is out of your head, because it's all can be all very chaotic and jumbled in your head, whereas actually you being able to see it in physical form can make it a lot easier to sort of process and to problem solve over, I suppose. And remember, there are charities and things like Samaritans that you can talk to if you are struggling with this, which I have turned to before, like in crisis times where I haven't had anyone else to talk to, and that did help, just somebody to talk to and just have a cry to and just get everything off my chest, make me feel better. Finding good times to connect with your children. And this is not in a way of you thinking, oh no, one more thing that I should be doing to be a good parent. Oh, this is about just finding what works for you. Is a good time for you to just be present and have a few minutes with your child? Is that at bedtime? For us, that works really well. Like when we've had a story or we're getting into bed, that's a very calming time where my children do tend to like open up and we can have a chat. But it might be bath time, it might be a time when you're doing a chore together, maybe you're tidying things up together, but you're having a good old chat while you're doing it, because the focus, that can be really great because you're not sat in front of each other giving each other eye contact and it's very intense. Situations like that are in the car because you're not sat right in front of each other. You haven't got that icon. You are not looking at each other most of the time. So it can be more relaxed in that sense for them to open up and have a talk. And that doesn't have to be talking. That can just be doing something together. That can be very powerful just to be doing the same thing. Whether you welcome them into your world and just say, oh, I'm just doing whatever job, I'm just filing these things away, oh, would you like to help? Some of the time, yeah, okay, there'll be times when they go, oh no, that's really boring, no. But other times it can make them feel quite grown up and think, yeah, I want to do that, that looks really fun, yeah, let's help. And you do something together. And other times it might be appropriate to enter into their world and find out what it is that they want to talk about or what they want to do, even if that like bores the pants off you because they've told you 1,000 times about their favorite Pokemon character or game that they're playing. For my middle child, my 6-year-old, Super Mario is like, oh, will you watch me play Mario? I'm like, oh, for the 75,000 millionth time, really? But that's his thing. That's his like little relaxing time. See, it's not on it all the time, but that's his like little relaxation thing that he likes to do for a little bit after school. And sometimes after school is not a good time because they do need that time to come down from the stresses of the day where they have had to behave and do as they're told and follow the rules. That can sometimes be not the right time. But playing together and finding flow as well. Have you done that where you find yourself doing silly voices or playing together so much so that you sort of lose yourself in play, like as you did as a child? I know that I can do that sometimes. It's easy to do that, I suppose, when you're on holiday or when you have less pressures on you to get jobs done and you're not thinking, I should be putting washing on, I should be going to tidy that up, I should be making a meal. You can just be focused on your child and let yourself go a little bit and be a child and just go with the flow and like lose yourself in your silly voices and silly games that just sort of come from nowhere. Yesterday we were dancing to in the kitchen they found a silly YouTube song called, see if you can find it, it's called Fishy on Me by, I think it's Tico. And it's just a really silly song of this five-year-old singing this Fishy Army song. It's very repetitive, but it's quite funny. And it mentions Wee and Pooh, so I think it's hilarious. And they're doing these, and my boys are doing these like silly dances, pretending to fish around the kitchen. So that just sort of came from nowhere. But so it's moments like that, I suppose, that you can't plan them. Like, we didn't plan to be dancing around the kitchen, but it just sort of happened. And it's nice moments like that where you think, oh, we've got this lovely connection, which makes your children feel safe. And it's just those happy little memories as well, isn't it? But not to think, if you start thinking, oh, I should be spending like 10 hours a day just focused on my child. No, that's not realistic. And at the end of the day, that makes you more stressed because you're thinking about all the jobs that you have to do with work and housework and everything else. And the more I'm sort of researching these things, the more I'm starting to see that I think I put a lot of pressure on myself to spend like every minute with my children, when actually that's not healthy. The healthier relationships that parents and children have are the ones where the parents take care of their own needs and do things that they want as well, and do things that make them happy as well, and that it makes for a happier child. So you don't feel that you have to spend like hours and hours and hours just focused on your child. Them playing alone or playing with siblings is a good thing as well. Them getting bored is a very powerful thing, very important for creative minds. So don't feel guilty about that. Take the pressure off yourself. That guilt is, it can be so hard. That guilt can be there a lot of the time, but that's not necessary. You don't need that added pressure on top of everything else as well. Use negative emotions and challenging situations as opportunities to connect. This can be tricky, but use them when things happen, like that your child's having a tough time over something or is reacting in a way that is maybe inappropriate or challenging. Then try and reframe it in your mind as, okay, this is an opportunity for us to connect. This is an opportunity for us to like learn together. And I know it's easy to just sit here and say that, because when you're in the situation, it is tricky and emotions are heightened, but they are opportunities to connect together and to grow together and learn about what works for you as a family and what doesn't. And then using that to reflect on, not in the moment when your child's logical part of the brain is switched off, deactivated, reflecting back and talking about that later on at a more appropriate time is a good thing as well. Children do thrive by in our presence. It is a positive thing. Even if you are incredibly hard on yourself, you just being there is so powerful. And that's what they want after all, is some of our time, not lots of fancy expensive trips out and all the rest of it. It is just some of our time, and that these little things, like just sitting with them when they're getting upset or they're doing something, you just being present is so important and actually means more to them than you realise. It's so easy to be influenced by people around you and your environment around you. Everybody is, whether you realise it or not. So it's important to choose the people that you're surrounded by and be selective of your environment as much as you can, because it will have an impact on you, and create as many things that make life a little bit easier for you as you can. I know that's easier said than done when you've got family members that you have to be around, or co-parents that you need to communicate with, and you feel that that can be tricky at times and make things harder. But protect your energy in ways that you can by setting boundaries. Connections are great, but with toxic people, not so much. I'm not saying go out and make connections with people who are toxic, very much like, you know, use your gut. You know who are the positive, reliable influences you want in your life, and those that are not so much. where you, for those people where you have to have strong boundaries, and those people that try and break those boundaries down, be even more aware, because those are the people that you've got to watch that do not respect you, do not respect your boundaries, might even flip that on you and use that as a criticism of you, when actually it's a reflection of them. So just be careful of those toxic, and go for, have a look as well at cord cutting. If you do have like negative people and connections, there are like meditations and hypnosis that you can do for like cord cutting from those people to help you protect your energy. And that all helps to help you have more energy for your family, for yourself, for your well-being, to be the best parent that you can be without having your energy drained on people that don't deserve it and people that you don't need to waste your time on. Spend your time on the people that you love and that you want to spend your time with. So that is connection. And that is a reminder to myself that connections, even with strangers, are positive and can make you happier, and are very, very valued, and studies have shown how just how important human connection actually is. So although it seems like a bit of a wishy-washy tool to have, because it can be difficult to actually measure it, unless I suppose you're counting your how many friends you've got on your fingers, it's hard to measure in some respects as to how strong these connections are with people. But it can be a very, very powerful thing to have and make you feel stronger and happier in what you're doing. So yeah, I will leave it there. So thank you for joining me, and I'll see you next week for next week's episode. Little update before I go. We're still in the process of making the first application for our EHC needs assessment. So we're going through that. So I'll keep you updated with that. We're in the very early stages of getting all the information and bits and bobs together and filling in the forms, even though I've been told that a lot of the information is not needed at this point. And actually can be detrimental to the process. But yeah, it's a minefield. And last week I said that we just had my eldest hurt himself and fall and hit the corner of the table. Well, he ended up with the most enormous black eye. So he's still rocking really swollen black eye. It's now like gone yellowy purple. So wherever we go, it's like, oh, what have you done to your eye? So yeah, that's the latest with us. Right, I will love you and leave you. Thank you so much for joining. See you next week. Bye.